This is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. Today's episode brings us an example of how art can preserve and celebrate cultural memory. From the 1960s through the 1980s, hundreds of lesbian-identified women from around the country began migrating to Eugene, Oregon, to build community and find a sense of belonging. One of those transplants, Judith Raiskin, eventually became a professor of women's gender and sexuality studies at the University of Oregon. And in 2018, she began collecting material for what would become the Eugene Lesbian History Project. One piece of this sprawling digital humanities project is the documentary Outliers and Outlaws. Here to talk about that documentary are Courtney Herman, the film's director, and G. Chesler, who's in charge of outreach for the film. Welcome to you both.
Thanks so much for having us, Vanessa.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Courtney, let's start off with some context. Explain what you call the multiverse of the entire Eugene Lesbian History Project that this film is a part of.
Yeah, it's definitely a sprawling digital humanities project, but it has four distinct parts. Firstly, the oral history archive of 83 narrators who share their experiences as lesbians who migrated to Eugene from the 60s to the 90s to build their own world. And these 83 oral histories are in a publicly facing archive at the University of Oregon Library. And so they're searchable transcripts, and you can watch the videos. Also, there's an archive that is being developed by Linda Long, who's the curator of manuscripts at University of Oregon Library, that includes all kinds of interesting photographs and event flyers, t-shirts, diaries, zines, newsletters for the community, you know, people's papers. So this archive of oral histories and also of artifacts is where it all started. And then from that, there's a little bit of a more curated experience of this history through a digital exhibit that's online. And so if you go to the Outliers and Outlaws website, you can find your way to the digital exhibit. And then from there, a physical exhibit was created in collaboration with the University of Oregon's Museum of Natural and Cultural History. And so that exhibit was up for 13 months and was accessible to around 30,000 visitors to the museum. And there were panels that were held and discussions in conjunction with the exhibit. A traveling exhibit is now moving forward with the first iteration of this traveling exhibit planned for 2025 at the Oregon Jewish Museum. And then the fourth and final, we think, part of the Eugene Lesbian History Project multiverse is the documentary film Outliers and Outlaws, which is a full-length documentary chronicling the contributions of representative members of this robust lesbian community. And it's out now.
And that project you described is now apparently the largest accessible lesbian oral history project in the world, which is quite an accomplishment. But the documentary was a chance to show the impact that history has on the present, for one thing. Let's hear a little clip. Here's a bit from the documentary Outliers and Outlaws.
We were striving for an identity. Who are we? And needing that sort of separateness to figure out who we were. It was, we'll learn to do that. I'll learn to be the plumber. I'd say I can do that. And so we got to create our own little world.
When we were growing up, women were not allowed to live their lives. That's what I think was really kind of radical. Just this idea that, yeah, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to do what I want to do, and fight the fight that I have to fight to do it, or break the barrier down to do it. You've got this life, you need to live it.
Gee, since you're in charge of outreach, there is that notion that's talked about by some of the women featured in the film. They say, we were looking for ways to establish our own identity. How would you describe the importance of, especially a marginalized community, to not only establish its own identity, to feel strength there, but to feel visible through works of art like this, and also to feel connected with that community's elders?
Yeah, so one of the experiences we've had in screening the film so far is hearing from our younger viewers who didn't understand that there were elders who were queer and lesbian living in their joy. And Courtney and I have been involved in making documentary films for decades, and we've seen this throughout the history of our own like short spans of making documentary and queer films, is that so often our stories are told with opposition at the forefront. Like queer people are fighting for their survival. Queer people are trying to eke out a living. They're, you know, tormented by their home lives, their biological families. This is a story that shifts entirely that narrative. And while the lesbians involved in Eugene's story in Eugene, Oregon, experienced hardship, and they did experience homophobia, they didn't live in that reality. They lived in a reality of affirmation, of joy, of collective living. When we share this with people of all genders and sexualities in the queer community, we hear resoundingly a sense of affirmation and of empowerment. And that's something that we are trying to share with a variety of audiences right now. We're focusing on a very broad outreach strategy, which doesn't sound focused at all. But, you know, one of the things we're after is where can we support people in knowing their power and their joy and community? And where can folks come and see each other online and in real space? So we're talking to high school groups, we're talking to faith-based groups, we're talking to senior centers, libraries, museums, and theatrical settings, traditional theaters.
If you're just joining us, this is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. My guests are Courtney Herman and G. Chesler, and we're talking about the documentary Outliers and Outlaws, which chronicles how a vibrant lesbian community in Eugene worked together to create a new culture. Courtney, can you talk about how you use music in the film?
Well, the Eugene lesbians were actually very musically inclined. And maybe, you know, perhaps it was an outgrowth of 1960s folk, but they were ready to sing. And that often meant making up their own music. And so right from the very beginning of the film, one of our participants, Sally Shecklow, she is about to describe what it was like in Oregon when political measures were expressly put forward to the public in an effort to curtail the rights of LGBTQ plus people. And so right off the bat, she just started singing a song that they wrote about the organization, the OCA, which was pretty hell-bent on defaming the community and putting restrictions on their participation in public life.
Come listen to a story about the OCA, a Wilsonville group come to take your rights away, spreading lots of lies and being mighty rude, and telling all the folks that our lives are crude. Wrong, that is. Unnatural. Perverse.
And so from the very beginning of the film, you hear the importance of music to the participants themselves in their own activism and also in their own processing of the tough times that they were living in. And so there's that organic music that is baked in. We also have music that we've brought in that was very important at the time. Women's music was a genre of music. And in fact, one of our participants was a DJ at KLCC who had a women's music program, Enid Lefton. And so this music was very important. And so in the film, you hear Enid and her partner singing along to Meg Christian's Ode to a Gym Teacher, which was about a young lesbian's interest in her gym teacher that helped her understand that she was a lesbian. And then we also have in the end credits a very poignant, lovely piece by Chris Williamson, who at one time was the largest independent selling artist in music history, and also a very little known ballad called Eugene, Oregon by Dolly Parton, which apparently she wrote after having been ill while visiting Eugene and having been, supported very strongly by the community in a way that where she felt very loved and very much safe in that community. And so that was something that was a real find. And we were lucky to be able to license that to include it in the film.
Gee, after the movie has its screening in Eugene on February 2nd, where does it go from there? How can people see it?
So our Eugene screening is our coming back home. We only released the film in November. And while it's been very popular and getting a lot of tension in our community, we want people to know that we're just getting started. And so we screened at QDOC in Portland, Oregon at the historic Hollywood Theater. We sold out a 400-seat theater week before the festival even started. And then Cinema 21, which is the site of the first LGBT film festival in Portland, hosted the film. We hosted it for 4 screenings. We sold out all those screenings. They added more. We sold out most of them. And audiences here in Portland are like, when can we see it again? But we have to go to Eugene. Eugene is where this story happened, and we're so excited to be able to screen there. We're going to have an event in early February at the university on February 2nd that will include most of the filmmakers, most of the participants, and then we'll go to the Art House Eugene. And we have several dates already booked from February 28th to March 2nd. But we intend to fill the theater and add more dates as the audience asks for the film. And then we'll continue screenings in Oregon. We have hopes for some of the premier film festivals that happen in Southern Oregon and Eastern Oregon, and we'll know about those in the coming months. And we're also starting to screen nationally. At universities and at different film festivals. And then Courtney and I are working on our distribution strategy beyond that, which would allow an online platform to emerge, some online screening, some streaming, and all of those things are in the works.
Okay, so obviously a topic that had a huge amount of interest, so they've just been waiting for this project and this film, so it's definitely a film with some legs. Any last things you'd like to say before we wrap up?
Yes, I actually wanted to mention that for Southern Oregon listeners, that part of the story of the lesbian community is actually intertwined with the Southern Oregon lesbian lands, especially an important set of photography workshops that were taught between 1979 and 1982 near Wolf Creek, Oregon, at a lesbian enclave called Rootworks. And at these photography workshops, photographs that were taken there were published in The Blatant Image, which was a magazine of feminist photography. And so Southern Oregon is a place where these Eugene lesbians would often either come from or go to and then come back to Eugene. But there was a lot of cross-pollination between Southern Oregon lesbian lands and Eugene.
Thanks for adding that. Well, Courtney Herman and G. Chesler, thank you so much for your time and best of luck with your movie.
Thank you so much for having us, Vanessa.
Yeah, so appreciated.
This is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. You can subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform. To find more episodes and to learn more about the entire Eugene Lesbian History Project, including the documentary film Outliers and Outlaws, visit jeffexchange.org.